ಅಂಜನಾಶಲಾಖಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಾಂಶಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಾಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ದೀನಧಾರಣಂ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆನರ್ to speak in front of Sri Kishore Kishori and Srila Prabhupada and in the assembly of all the devotees and especially, you know, this most sacred and important topic, Sharanagati. So as Radharaman Prabhu mentioned, Sharanagati, there are six limbs of Sharanagati. I think by Krishna's mercy, perhaps there will be just enough time for me to introduce the topic so I can shy away from speaking about humility. There may not be enough time, and also not yet qualified to speak on that. But we'll touch upon it. So I'm looking at this lecture more as an introduction. Speak a little bit about dainya, humility, and then the next speaker can pick it up. They can even just begin from dainya, they want humility. As we heard in the Gaura Purnima lecture, so Lord Chaitanya, one of the reasons of his advent, he descends into this world to teach devotional service, pure devotional service unto Krishna. So Krishna has given many instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but his final instruction in Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. He has abandoned all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. So that is Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita. And who better to teach about the process of surrender than the Supreme Lord Himself? So the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Jai Jagannath was mentioning, I guess it is inconceivable for us, but even He is not able to fully comprehend what his devotees feel when they serve him, or what they experience when they surrender unto him. So Lord Chaitanya, he comes in the mood of a devotee, and the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, to experience, you know, the pure devotional service, to experience this, the ways of surrender. And while he is relishing and experiencing those ways of surrender, he is also teaching those that want to be taught in the ways of surrender. So we will see that in the bhajan here. So this is a topic, Sharanagati, surrender unto the Supreme Lord. This is a very, very important topic for us, all of us, for devotees. And so this topic is extensively talked about, extensively covered. So some, you know, scriptural references for those of you that are interested. So this topic of Sharanagati, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he instructs Sanatana Goswami about the process of surrender. So it is found in Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Rupa Goswami, he extensively talks about it. I'm sorry, Sanatana Goswami, again, whatever he heard from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote some of it in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas is like a how-to manual for devotees. And in that, he talks about, you know, the ways of surrender. So the topic of surrender, Sharanagati, is as deep as the ocean. And all the prominent acharyas, they have commented, they have wrote, like Sri Ramanujacharya has written about the process of surrender, Madhvacharya, Yamanacharya, and all these exalted acharyas, they have spoken about surrender. So this is a topic that is very, very important for all of us. And so there are six stages or six limbs of surrender, which we'll talk about a little later. But in the Vedic scriptures, it is mentioned that there are four things that are common to human beings and animals: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So most of us, we are led to surrender or forced to surrender when there is danger. Because the propensity to defend oneself, it is very, very strong. So to preserve one's life, in a way it makes sense, because the soul is eternal. So for the soul, death is unnatural. So this self-preservation is very, very, is inherent to us. So even if somebody is engaged in all the other three propensities, eating, sleeping, or mating, if one's life is threatened, if there is a risk, then he gives up the other three propensities. I mean, he doesn't have to think, basically. The involuntary, system kicks in, and it doesn't have to even think. So this defending ourselves, so for many of us, like Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people that come to him, that surrender unto him. One who wants something, one who is inquisitive, one who wants some relief from distress, like that. when somebody is in a suffering condition, then in a way it can be a great impetus for surrendering. Of course, in a way this is tied in with the first limb of surrender. So when we have a situation which is beyond us, the humble person will take refuge, he will take shelter of something which he thinks is higher than him. Of course, if there is pride in the heart, then that prevents somebody to surrender. So humility or dainya is a prerequisite, for surrender. Otherwise, if we think that we have it covered, there is really no reason or no impetus for us to surrender, for one to surrender. So typically, that's how most conditioned souls, that's how they are led to the way of surrender. And these six limbs of surrender, they are primarily talked about in Padma Purana. Actually, I forgot an important reference. So the main reference is Padma Purana. So Padma Purana also talks about these six limbs of surrender. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharyas, he presented this topic of Sharanagati in a very, very beautiful way. I have this is a book. So on each of these six limbs of surrender, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written songs. It's almost totaling to 50 songs on the topic of Sharanagati. For example, the Dainya section has 7 songs, and so on and so forth in these six limbs of surrender. So what I was thinking, so this is sort of like the introduction of the topic, and then I would like to invite Swati Mataji to sing the bhajan. We can follow, and then I'll continue to speak based on the bhajan, mostly on the bhajan I'll speak. Yeah, so like that. Okay, is that okay? Yeah. Hare Krishna. So oh yeah, give her the mic, sorry.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Doya Kori Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Doya Kori Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Doya Kori Swaparshada Swiya Dhamma Sahavatari Atyanta dulaba prima kori bare dana Atyanta dulaba prima Dhanyatmani Vedana Goptritve Varana Dhanyatmani Varana কান্দিয়া বলে আমি তো আধা
Hare Krishna. So, so a little bit about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also credited to be the founder of the modern Hare Krishna movement. So essentially, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure, of course, the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very dynamically preached for many, many generations. You know, the six Goswamis and then the followers of six Goswamis. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he roughly appeared, he disappeared in the mid-1500s. In the mid-1500s. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was prevalent in the 1800s during the British Raj. So between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's advent, so it's almost 250 years. So the message of pure devotion, as Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, also this parampara, this message of pure devotion is coming down in the parampara, but somehow or the other, the message is lost. You know, the disciplic succession is broken, and practical purposes, the message is lost. Of course, the teachings of pure devotion were practiced in different in pockets even then, but it was lost for all practical purposes. And without getting into too much details, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is credited, you know, one of the title that he was given is the seventh Goswami. So the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were given two main instructions by Lord Chaitanya: to give the teachings of Lord Krishna to everyone and to re-establish the places of pastimes of Krishna. So that same instruction was given to Bhaktivinoda Thakur by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. So skipping many, many details, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually he came into contact of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya at a very, you know, in a way one can say late age. In his mid-30s, he came in contact with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he read Chaitanya Charitamrita cover to cover, you know, three times. And then, you know, he knew this was the mission for this age. And immediately he wanted to dedicate himself to that. So while all this was going on, he was a district magistrate in the British Raj. So during the British Raj, Indians did not hold such high posts. But obviously he was, you know, not only spiritually very qualified, but even otherwise he was very, very qualified. So the Britishers, they wanted to have him at any cost. They even were ready to build a railway track in front of his house so that he could go to office. So in our times, we have, you know, the big CEOs, they have a helipad on their, you know, a skyscraper. You know, in those times, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a railway line, basically, built for him by the Britishers. He would go out of his house, train, get on the train, go to Krishnanagar, and then come back. Anyway, so while this was happening, and then at one point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm skipping some details. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to dedicate himself, actually. Before this happened, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, he was so surcharged that he wanted to leave everything and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. And when he was on his way to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, he came. Some say in his dream, some say, you know, he had a vision personally. And he told him, don't go to Vrindavan. I want you to go to Navadvip and reestablish the places of my pastime and establish my teachings again. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a way, was given what the Goswamis were given in Vrindavan. Same thing, but establishing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what can be said? One time on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, and then he was glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur like anything. And he was saying, if I had 1% of the potency of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then, you know, I could have done so much more. So in this way, he was glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then one of his disciples, he asked, Prabhupada, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so qualified, then, you know, why didn't he spread the message of Lord Chaitanya? And Prabhupada replied that, you know, he left something for us to do. But actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur had done it in his own way. In those times, in the mid-1800s, so this was the visionary Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In those times, he would write profusely. And if we look at his schedule, you know, we'll, you know, our jaws will drop. So he would sleep 2-3 hours in a day. He would have, he has his district magistrate duties, and then he would also have you know, he would write profusely, like Srila Prabhupada, in the night. You know, he would sleep at 10, take rest at 10, get up at 12, and then write, you know, for the rest of the night. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a small, very, very small book called The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. And in those times, in, you know, 1800s, he had the vision to send that book to the different parts of the world. You know, like they are like time bombs. The date was set to about 1968 and 1969. So there were time bombs that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent. And the books were sent to different parts of the world. And then it is mentioned that when Srila Prabhupada, when he came here to 1966, and then one of his disciples, he went to the McGill University in Canada, I think in Toronto or Montreal. He found this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. So he did it. So he sowed the seeds of the modern day Hare Krishna movement. So he's given this credit of being the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. He also had the vision that in the future, many, many devotees from all over the world will come to the land of Gaurahari, and they would chant, and they will take part in the Sankirtan. So it's happening. He envisioned the Adbhuta Mandir, the magnificent temple. It's happening now. It's being built, of course. So the followers of Prabhupada, they are bringing his mission, his vision to life. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, is given credit. And so one of the things that he loved to do was write bhajans, write songs, you know, poems. He wrote in Sanskrit, he wrote in Bengali, he wrote in English, you know, so he covered everything. He wrote for the intellectuals, he wrote for the illiterates. So through this beautiful bhajan, you know, Vaishnava bhajan, he has conveyed the deep teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Because, you know, people in the age of Kali are lazy. They will not pick up, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita or, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. But at least somehow or the other, if somehow they can still get the benefit, somehow give them the benefit. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur will write profusely. He has written, you know, 300-400 songs. Yeah. So just this book. This book has his songs, Sharanagati and Gitavali. So one of my very dear god brothers, Rati, he gave me as a gift. Somehow I lost it. I don't know where. Maybe I gave it to somebody. It's not come back. Anyway, but I borrowed this from the library. So this has the opening song and many other songs. So now we will talk about this song a little bit. So, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jive Doya Kari, Svaparshada Sviya Dhamma Saha Avatari. So what does that mean? Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Jive Doya Kari, Shri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates, Svaparshada, Sviya Dhamma, and Divine Abode to teach Sharanagati. So like there is a Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. So the Parshadam, that word comes there as well. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come out of compassion for the fallen souls, and he doesn't come alone. He comes with his associates, like Lord Krishna. When he came, all his associates also came with him. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates, and so his weapons, he doesn't have a weapons, like Krishna has his weapon. Lord Vishnu has his weapons, in a club and a Sudarshan Chakra. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's weapon are his associates. And, you know, the way he conquers people is love. That's, you know, ultimate way to conquer somebody. So he comes here. He has come himself. And why has he come? Atyanta durlabha prema kori varadana. Like last week we were hearing on Gaurapurnima day. This week actually. So he has come. Atyanta durlabha. So this, he has come to give something that is most rare, most difficult to obtain. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. So Atyanta Durlabha Prema. So he has come to give this love of Godhead, love unto Krishna, very freely, which is otherwise impossible to obtain. And how does he do that? And he does it, one of the things he does is he teaches Sharanagati, which is the life of a devotee, pure devotee, true devotee. Shikhaya Sharanagati, Bhakatera Prana. Prana means the life. Bhakatera Prana. So the Sharanagati, in a way, this is the life of a devotee. Because that is our goal. We are trying to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So this is our life and soul. And Lord Chaitanya, he comes personally to teach the ways of surrender. And his life is filled with that. For example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is described in his first 24 years, he was in Navadvip, Mayapur area. And, you know, at the request of the elders, he was married to the goddess of fortune herself. He was young. But at the same time, he also knew that the mission of his advent is to deliver the conditioned souls. So he himself showed by example. So he took up the renounced order of life, sannyasa, to distribute this message of, you know, love of God to everyone. Of course, I'm not recommending that we should abandon our wives and children and take up a renounced order of life. Whatever the Supreme Lord does, it is faultless. But so he had everything. The point I'm making is, I mean, he had everything going for him from a mundane perspective. Beautiful wife, you know, high learning, supremely qualified, the world was at his feet. So he had everything. And then, you know, he left all that to travel just like a mendicant and give this message to everyone. And now, so these are the six limbs of surrender. So this is the heart of the presentation over the six, next however long we take. Dainya Atma Nivedana. Dainya means humility. Atma Nivedana is surrendering one's very self, everything, dedication of the self to the Supreme Lord. Swati, yeah, I found the translation. Goptritte Varana is maintainer, accepting that Krishna is one's maintainer. And avashya rakshibe Krishna vishwasa palana. So that is the faith that Krishna will surely protect me. Vishwasa palana is the faith that Krishna will surely protect me. And then bhakti anukula matra karyera svikara. That means accepting those things that are favorable for bhakti. And bhakti pratikula bhava varjana angikara, and renunciation of conduct averse to pure devotion. So these are the six limbs of surrender. So there are six limbs of surrender, and of course what we should also understand, I'll just stay on this slide for some time. So for an aspiring devotee, so this surrender is not a one-time event. It's a gradual process. So there are limbs of surrender and there are stages of surrender. So we should understand there is a difference between the two. Another way of saying the same thing is, based on where one is in one's devotional service, the stage of one's devotional service, which limb he may take, have to practice or apply himself may vary. You follow what I'm saying? Meaning, if I'm just a beginner, a neophyte, so for me, what is most important is bhakti anukula matra karyara svikara. You follow? So accepting that limb of surrender, to accepting that are favorable for devotional service. Let's not worry about yet, you know, feeling Krishna as my maintainer. I'm not saying, even if we worry about it, it's not going to happen. Because we need purification. You know, to feel that Krishna will surely protect me, he will surely maintain me. I don't want to sort of throw a wet towel. I think we have those feelings also, even at a very neophyte stage. We have feelings like those, and we have glimpses of those. But it's very hard for us to stay on the platform. So we get a glimpse of those stages also, limbs as well. But most importantly for us, the important thing to really take shelter of is, or surrender unto is, the process accepting those that are favorable to devotional service, rejecting those things that are unfavorable to devotional service. And of course, dainya, you know, humility is the foundation. You know, that's one other thing. So that's what I mean to say, that we have to understand how these stages apply. Of course, they apply to all the devotees across the board, not just the devotees, all the living entities actually, whether somebody is a devotee or not. This is the fact. So they apply to these limbs, they apply to all of us, but they, based on the stage that we are in. For example, Prabhupada mentions, right, in Bhagavad Gita, he describes the qualities, and he says fearlessness. And he says fearlessness, specifically, he says that the sannyasi, the renunciate, he has to be fearless. It's not that the others don't have to be fearless, but the sannyasi has to be fearless because practically he has to depend on the Lord. He doesn't know how he will, you know, maintain the next day. You know, like the Goswamis, they would live under a different tree every day. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was not thinking, well, you know, how am I going to get my meal tomorrow? So practically, they have to depend on Krishna. So fearlessness. So similarly, based on what stage of devotion where we are, so we may have to focus on one or two or three of these, and ultimately, of course, you know, perfect ourselves in all of these ways of surrender. So there are stages of surrender, and there are limbs of surrender. That's one thing I wanted to just mention. Another thing is surrender, in a way, one can look at it in a subjective way. I mean, it's a feeling. It's how we feel, how, since it's existential, one can say. So in one sense, we cannot put our finger on it. I mean, if we go just by externals, we can't tell how much somebody is surrendered, how much somebody is not surrendered. So that's one. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the scriptures and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're very, very merciful. So in a way, they're also giving us some objective measures where we can see ourselves, you know, where we are on the path of surrender. So dainya, you know, atmanivedana, goptritvavarana. I mean, how much do I feel that Krishna is my maintainer? I'm thinking, wow, I mean, you know, I need to keep my job. You know, if I lose my job, then I don't know what will happen to me. So practically, you know, feeling that Krishna is my maintainer, feeling that Krishna is my protector, like that. And, you know, bhakti anukula matra, so accepting things that are favorable, rejecting things that are unfavorable for devotional service. So like that. So we can evaluate ourselves, where we are. I mean, okay, bhakti anukula matra. I mean, I'm able to accept things that are favorable, but, you know, I'm not able to give up things that are adverse, you know, to the conduct of pure devotion. So the acharyas have given us, you know, in a very simple way, how we can, you know, evaluate ourselves. That's also one way of looking at it. Yeah. So this is here it says that Lord Krishna, anyone who takes, you know, refuge of Lord Krishna, and he prays to him, and he surrenders unto him by these sixfold practice, Lord Krishna definitely hears his prayers. So initially, you know, so all, even the desire to surrender, where does it come from? You know, it comes from Krishna. Krishna's devotees. So I was thinking, I'll end with this here. So Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, in the scriptures, that one who is actually, Lord Shiva is telling to Parvati, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. He says, amongst all sorts of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu, that is the best. But he says, even better than that is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. If we worship the associates or his devotee, that is even higher than the worship of the Supreme Lord. So of course, our surrendering unto Krishna means we have to practically surrender unto a Vaishnava. So it begins with Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. So somehow or the other we have some faith, and because of that faith and by the mercy of Krishna, we come in contact with the devotee of the Lord and we surrender. Our process of surrender begins by surrendering to a devotee, like an act of devotion. It is mentioned, you know, among the 64 items of surrender, the first three are most important. And they're all related to the spiritual master. Accepting a bona fide spiritual master, learning from him, inquiring from him, serving him. And from those three things, all the other 61 items, they become clear. So if you want to accept the principles of devotional service and reject the principles of devotional service, very easy. So first accept a spiritual master, and from that everything becomes clear, how to follow the process of bhakti. So again, so surrender unto the Supreme Lord means surrender unto his devotee. And that's what he's saying here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Rupa Sanatana Pade Dante Trinakori. Well, who is Rupa and Sanatana Goswami? They are not the Supreme Lord. They are the associates of the Supreme Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I mean, he is grabbing the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And he's with a straw in his teeth. He comes. And then, this is the beauty. For me, this line is the epitome of humility. Kandiya, kandiya kore, bole, amito adhama. Shikhai sharanagati, korohe uttama. So that seemed like a paradox. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, kandiya, kandiya, you know, I am the most fallen. He tells them that, hey, I am the most fallen, Rupa Sanatana. But teaching me the ways of surrender, you make me uttama.
Well, how is that?
So simultaneously, in one couplet, he's saying, I'm the most fallen, but he has the aspiration of being the most uttama, most exalted. But he knows that I'm not going to get there myself. This is a descending process. I need the mercy of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami or the Vaishnavas. And so he's praying. So this is humility. Real humility is not just saying that I'm the lowest of all men and just staying stuck there, but having this intense desire simultaneously to become the perfect person, knowing that perfection comes from association of devotees, you know, taking shelter of devotees. So this is like humility, you know, for me. And this was the mood of the devotees in Jagannath Puri also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. Simultaneously, they felt most unqualified to be in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, but then that did not stop them from seeking that association. They were simultaneously eager. For us, it doesn't happen. If we are feeling unqualified, you know, mostly we are feeling like lamentation, in a mode of ignorance, and we want to like disappear, hide. Yeah. But here, he's not saying, I'm going to hide. I'm the most fallen, but I want your shelter. And you please teach me the ways of surrender so I can come to the stage of perfection. So this is, and then this is some beautiful pictures. Dainya, humility. Sanatana Goswami offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Atma Nivedana, Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev, pastime. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, meaning Prahlad Maharaj. And as I said, I gave her wrong instructions. So avashya rakshiva Krishna vishwasa palana is one limb actually. Goptritya varana, Krishna is my maintainer, like we see Sudama on the right. Goptritya varana. So Sudama, I mean, he was like, he wanted to just serve Krishna. He was not going there for money. He knew Krishna will maintain me. So when he returned from Dwaraka, you know, he didn't even care, you know, whether Krishna gave him anything. So that's Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates also. And of course, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. So this is beautiful. So the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you know, for me, they are sort of the best example. So to give one's youth, firstly, to have never heard the name of Krishna ever, and then, you know, to accept the process wholeheartedly, the way, you know, they have done, so simultaneously, you know, rejecting everything that they ever knew before, so that's fantastic. So that level of surrender, hopefully, you know, we all can also come to that stage one day. So these are the six limbs of surrender. So we will end here. I know I've taken a little more time here. Perhaps I should end. But if there is any question, we can ask. And then whoever speaks next, they can continue. This is a nice format. I understand different speakers may want to speak differently. But we could have, you know, the Sharanagati has many, many songs, so we could even pick songs from the Sharanagati series and do like something like this, you know, duet, song and class, or they can just speak. However, I like to do it this way. Hare Krishna. So, any comments or questions? Anything? Yes. Can't see you. I can't hear you. All right, that's all right. Thank you very much. People are moving about. I think so we should end here. So we will just, thank you very much. So we'll end here. If you have any questions, you can ask me personally. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.